In our effort to learn over the last several weeks what God expects disciples to be, we have discovered that there is, an inescapable truth. That truth is who we are as a disciple is not able to be extricated from what we do. Okay, in other words, who we are and what we do blend together. The Bible calls this being connected to the vine. We talked about that the other day. And when you think about it, it just seems to make sense. Being and doing go hand in hand. If you have a vine and it is connected, if you have a branch and it is connected to the vine, then you expect that there is going to be something produced, some kind of fruit. So there is this inextricable connection or bond between who we are as a disciple and what we do. And the goal of this being connected to the vine is that we will bear fruit. The Bible is pretty clear that God is the husbandman, if you will, the gardener. He prunes those branches that are not bearing fruit. Why does he do that? Well, so that they are not taking the life force of the vine away from those branches that will bear fruit, and those branches that are bearing fruit get pruned. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds painful. And it is. But it is for our good. And this kind of a concept, we also know that from Scripture, while bearing fruit is necessary, we have to be connected to the vine that is flowing with the right stuff, if you will, the right sap or life force. And in Scripture, that's talked about as the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is flowing through the vine and thus into the branches, because the branches are connected to the vine, then we are bearing fruit of the Holy Spirit, and the Bible tells us what that fruit looks like. You remember what they are? Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, and self-control. You see, being and doing go hand in hand. And so as a disciple of Jesus, when Jesus picked his 12, he wanted them to completely understand this lesson. And one of the more poignant texts, or one of the more poignant teachings of Jesus, is found in our text, which is in Luke chapter 12. And these are the words. Luke chapter 12, starting with verse 35. If you want to turn to that in your Bibles, then you can have that, because I will be referring to it a couple of different ways. But Jesus says this, "Be dressed and ready for service." Now, we could pretty much just stop right there, because the concept of being dressed and serving go hand in hand. But let's just see what else this means. And have, be dressed ready for service and have lamps burning, like men for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door, for it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. I tell you the truth, he will dress himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Jesus' words are a call to his current disciples and to all future disciples. All who wish to be citizens in God's kingdom must, as he say, be dressed for service. So the question is pretty simple. Are you? Are you ready to do what the Master wishes until he returns? Now, let me establish the context a little bit, because no group of scriptures stand alone. They are always in a context. There's always something going on. And preceding this text, Jesus has told his disciples that they need not fear earthly beings who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, they should fear the one who can kill both the body and the soul. And he says that in chapter 12, verses 1 through 12. Jesus taught his disciples, don't worry. God will supply all of your needs. Don't worry about wealth. Don't worry about money. Even the things that we think are the necessities of life, don't worry about those. God will take care of us. He will take care of his disciples. The hard thing for human beings to remember is that we are not in charge. We want to be in charge. We want to know that we are establishing ourselves and making the money that we need and supplying our own needs and making sure that we are cared for in our future years, etc. Because what if this and what if that and what if the other thing? We want to be in charge. We don't want somebody else to be in charge of our lives. That is so very difficult for us because then that means that we serve another master. And we want to be the master. And I get it. I are human too. And we all have this tendency in our human nature. But we are citizens of the kingdom. We are not the king. Our role is to be dressed and ready to serve the king. And we have a task to fulfill, whether the master is with us, as Jesus was with his disciples, or whether he is away. We still have a role to fill. We still have tasks to do. The imagery should not have been a shock to Jesus' disciples because Jesus had already told them that he would not be with them much longer. I mean, he had been with them for 3 years. He had selected them. He had taught them. He had walked with them. He had been with them 24/7 in some situations. But he also told them that he was leaving them. But he wasn't going to leave them as orphans. He was going to provide for them another advocate, a counselor, if you will. The Bible calls him the Holy Spirit. And he would go. Jesus would then go and prepare a place for us so that he could be with us. And we all know that passage of Scripture because he wanted to return and take us to that place that he was preparing. In the meantime, what do we do while he is preparing that place? We dress ourselves for service. That's what Jesus said. Be dressed for serving and keep your lamps burning. Jesus uses this imagery, keeping your lamps burning again, in another parable that he speaks, a parable that maybe you have, maybe you're familiar with. It's called the parable of the 10 virgins, where they are waiting for the bridegroom to come and 5 of them bring an extra flask of oil because you never know. 5 of them just have their little oil lamp and they run out of oil. The master still hasn't come. The bridegroom still hasn't come. And so they go back to the marketplace to buy some. And in the meantime, the bridegroom comes. And those who are ready and those who are prepared and those who are dressed for the wedding are invited in. And those who aren't are left outside. And this is the picture. This is the picture of being dressed and ready that Jesus wanted them to have. Now, there's another picture that the disciples would have understood with this concept of being dressed and ready for service. In those days, and if you have a King James Bible and you're reading out of that version, it will say something to the effect of, have your loins gird about. It's kind of a funny phrase, but this is what it's talking about. In that day, common dress on the left side there was kind of a long flowing toga, but if you were dressed and ready for service, you would hike that robe up and you would dump it into your belt. And that way you could go to war unencumbered. And this is what Jesus is saying. Be dressed and ready for service. In other words, get rid of the things that are hindering you. Get rid of the things that are entangling you. The disciples likely would have been transported in their mind to Israel's enslavement in Egypt. Do you remember as the death angel that I mentioned earlier was going to pass over them? What did Jesus tell them to do? In Exodus chapter 12, verse 11, he says, "And thus you shall eat it," talking about the Passover meal, the unleavened bread and the lamb, "and you shall eat it with your belt on your waist and your sandals on your feet and your staff in your hands, so you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. In other words, Jesus said, don't just sit down and become lazy at your meal and eat it, you know, at your own convenience. I want you to eat this quickly because you're going to be leaving Egypt and you're going to be leaving the oppression and the enslavement, and you're going to have to do it when I tell you to, because I'm the master. And when the king speaks, that's what you do. Am I wrong? And so I imagine that the disciples, when they heard this, being dressed and ready, they would have gone back to this time in Israel's history. They were prepared, they were alert, they were ready to leave slavery immediately. Now, the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, he talks about this basically the same thing in Ephesians chapter 6. He, in the King James, once again, come back. There we go. It says, stand therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. This is the same concept. Be dressed and ready with righteousness. The believers in Ephesus were encouraged to stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around their waist, symbolizing the readiness that comes from their commitment to live for God. This tunic was tucked in, ready for them to fight, ready for them to be the people that God wanted them to be. You see, at issue is obviously the question for us. Israel was supposed to be dressed and ready for service. Jesus told his disciples to be dressed and ready for service. Paul told the Ephesian Christians to be dressed and ready for service. Why? Well, because we don't know when the Lord is going to return. We don't know when that day is going to happen. But we want him to find us as he expects, dressed and ready for service. So how do we do that? Well, first of all, we have to realize that you have to be prepared. Being ready for service is an active kind of a thing. These are pictures of guys that are jumping out of an airplane with a parachute. Can you imagine if they tried to jump out without preparing their parachute first? That could go bad. You know, it's sort of like the want ad that was in the paper one time. You know, for sale, used parachute, never opened. Why would you want to buy that parachute? But you see, readiness is an active part of who we are. And these jumpers are prepared. They are geared up for service. No one can get you ready to serve in the kingdom of God. Nobody can do that for you. I can't help you put on the armor of God. You have to choose to do it. Just like these jumpers, they maybe have somebody that helps to pack it, but it is their responsibility to make sure that that pack is ready so that it can be used. So readiness is in activity. Being ready to serve the Lord, being dressed and ready is not something that somebody else can. I can't do it for you. You can come and listen to all the sermons that you want. You can sit at home and listen to way better preachers than I am, but they aren't going to prepare you for service. They aren't going to make you dressed and ready. Only you can do that. The second thing, as Paul says, is we need to do it intentionally. Not only is readiness active, but it is also intentionally. Paul, in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, he says, rather clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh. Who are you clothing? You're clothing yourself. Our daughter, when she was young, didn't like the clothes that we picked out for her. I can do it myself. That was her phrase from the time she was about 2 years old. And she would go in her room and she would go through her dressers and she would pick out some of the gaudiest, ugliest outfits that you can imagine, but she did it herself. She clothed herself. We would make suggestions. It didn't mean anything. But she wanted to clothe herself. And sometimes we need to have that same mentality as a Christian. This is literally what Paul is saying here, is describing a person who is intentionally showing the world Christ as though the world was seeing Christ as their clothing. Now, our son, he didn't mind wearing clothes. He just didn't want to have any kind of a logo on them. All right? No Adidas logo, no Under Armour logo, no Nike swoosh, nothing. They had to be logo-free. Why? Well, because he didn't think that he wanted to be broadcasting those logos, those companies. And so we tried to find clothes that didn't have logos on them. You see, sometimes we don't seem to care what we wear or what we are broadcasting or what logos we seem to have on our clothes. But the Bible tells us to be cautious and to clothe ourselves with the Lord Jesus rather than with the desires of the flesh. And I'll be honest with you, it's really easy to clothe ourselves with the desires of the flesh, because that's what the world is telling us. You're number one. You need to take care of yourself. Don't let anybody be a hater on you. Your ideas are the most important. Even if your ideas contrast or conflict with the Bible, it doesn't matter, because you be you. Except that's not what the Bible teaches. You need to be Christ. Who's the boss? Who's the master? Not me. So it is an intentionality if we are going to be dressed and ready. And it is also an act of obedience. The Apostle Peter in 1 Peter 1:14 says, "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." Again, I can't do this for you. The elders and the teachers can't do this for you. We can inform you, but we cannot transform you. We can dump all kinds of information into your head, but the only one that can transform you is Jesus Christ. But you need to be willing to be transformed. And it is an act of obedience. You see, just as you, if you finish this verse, it says, just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. Once again, being and doing go hand in hand. You see, people dressed and ready for service, you do not put on dirty clothes. Do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived. Do you catch that? That's a past word. When you lived. Don't put on the dirty clothes again. But be holy as your master is holy. It's a future-looking thing. Now, I know that sometimes we think, well, let's just do the sniff-and-go kind of a thing when we put on clothes. Yeah, it can make it another day. But most of us, if we know that we have dirty clothes, we're not going to put them on again, because they are part of our past. And so this is an act of obedience. We wear the garments of praise. We put on the armor of God. We obey and we wear these clothing, these pieces of clothing, obediently and proudly. And finally, being dressed and ready for service is not supposed to be a burden. Three times in this passage of Scripture, Jesus tells his disciples, "It will be good for those servants." Why do you suppose he said that three times? Because he wanted to drive home what really is good. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. That's the first thing he says. The second thing he says is, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the second or third watch of the night. And by the way, the second or third watch of the night means like 3 o'clock in the morning. All right, and I'm pretty sure very few of us like to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. We know that there is a 3 o'clock in the morning, but we just don't want to see it. But it would be good if you are ready regardless of when the Lord returns. And then the third time he says, it will be good for those servants whom the master finds doing what he asks. Are you ready to serve. You see, the beautiful thing about this passage of Scripture is that Jesus really desires this, but sadly, he also knows that not everybody is going to be dressed and ready. A little bit later, in verses 45 and 46 of this same chapter, Jesus tells Peter, but suppose the master says to himself, or the servant says to himself, my master is taking a time in coming. And he then begins to beat the men servants and the maid servants and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and at an hour he is not aware of, and he will cut him to pieces and assign him to a place with the unbelievers. Boy, if that doesn't give you a visual, I don't know what will. Even the possibility of being assigned a place with the unbelievers should be motivation to not do that. But again, sadly, not everybody understands the reality and the truth. Some people think, oh, God's a sport. He'll be okay. I mean, after all, my intentions are good. We need to be dressed and ready. We can't be casual about living as a disciple of Jesus Christ. We can't just say, well, you know, he hasn't come back for 2,000 years. I've got another day. I can get myself right with God tomorrow. My dad used to say, tomorrow never comes. And he tells a story about when he was a boy living in Holland, and he would go to the bakery to get his ration of bread for the family, and he loved to look at and smell the pastries that were in that bakery, and he would always ask the baker, can I have one of those pastries? And the baker would say, no, you don't have any money for them. Finally, one day the baker said, okay, I tell you what, you can have a pastry tomorrow. And so the next day my dad went back to that bakery and he was all excited about getting his ration of bread for the family, and then he stood there waiting for the pastry, and the baker said, what did I tell you? And my dad said, you told me I could have a pastry tomorrow. And the baker said, that's right, you can have a pastry tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. And you may think that that is cruel for a person to do to a little boy, but it taught my dad a valuable lesson. You have a choice that you need to make today. Will you be dressed and ready for service? Because tomorrow never comes. Will you keep your lamps burning for the Lord now? You see, Jesus always leaves us with that option. Are you dressed? And are you ready for service? Yeah, the master is away, but he will return. Will you be serving his kingdom when he returns? And if you need to make a decision today, if you need to decide today that you are going to live for him and that you are going to be a servant in his kingdom, and he is not going to be your servant, but you are going to be his servant and he is going to be your master, then make that choice today. Because tomorrow never comes.